And this is Alex Gambert from Stanford, and he will speak on random matrices and magic squares.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm not completely here, and due to the increased security regulations, I had to get up at 4 a.m. this morning, so I think I will try to keep myself as well as you awake by using the blackboard. I think if I turn off the lights, there will be no magic. Anyway, let me start with another disclaimer. They are taping it. So there are these objects which Earhart and Stanley called historic magic squares. And this is the earliest one, which appeared, I think, in Chinese literature about 3,000 years ago. And it's a 3x3 matrix with numbers from 1 to 9, with each row and column summing to the same number, 15, and using all the 9 numbers. And so they reappear, this particular one reappears then in Kabbalistic literature, in the medieval times, etc. And it's very hard to understand what exactly is magic about them. But what is clear is why this particular 3x3 matrix appears, and that is, essentially, there is only one historic magic square of size 3. Okay? Now, let me now get to what following Stanley and Earhart is usually referred to as magic squares these days. So, by magic squares these days, is meant k by k integer matrix with row and column sums equal to j. Okay. The number of such matrices is usually denoted by h sub k of j. And there are many more such objects. So, for example, h. So we saw that there was only, I think my handwriting is not going to be visible. Maybe I'll wake up gradually. So the number of such objects is denoted by h sub k of j. So this is, by definition, the number of such matrices. So, yeah, for starters, h sub k of 1 is equal to k factorial. Okay? This is the number of permutation matrices. The
yes.
Zero is allowed.
Non-negative.
But non-negative. Yeah. H sub 3 of j is equal to j plus 4 choose 4 plus j plus 3 choose 4 plus j plus 2 choose 4. This was proved by McMahon in 1915. And if you get bored, you can try to prove it during the talk. There is no real elementary proof, no, of this fact. Okay, and real breakthrough was achieved in... So what am I doing? I assume that most of you know about random matrices, I'm telling you something about magic squares. Okay? And I'm going to get to random matrices in a moment. Very short. Yeah, so let me just mention this breakthrough of Stanley. So Stanley proved in 1976 that H sub k of j in general is a polynomial in j of degree k minus 1 squared. And at about the same time, it was observed by Erkhard that leading coefficient of H sub k of j is equal to the relative volume of Case-Birkhoff-Politov. So that is Case-Birkhoff-Politov. So that is a convex hull of K by K permutation matrices. Okay, now I am coming to the modern day Kabbalistic objects, which are random matrices. And, so I'm coming to random matrices. Somebody is false. So relative means that I multiply by, so that means that leading coefficient of H sub k of j multiplied by k to the power k minus 1 is equal to the volume. This is a normalization. This is normalized by the volume of lattice in ZK. Well, I can say, is this subject? Yeah, it's just a normalization. I don't. Okay. I should keep this close to me, right? I started at 4:10. Okay, so now I'm coming to random matrices. So, so what happened over the past 5 years is that people in various communities, primarily people interested in Riemann zeta functions, started looking at various questions associated with characteristic polynomials of random matrices. So most of the interest from the beginning of the subject has been concentrated on local statistics. But this interest in characteristic polynomial and sort of more global features is a relatively new development. So, anyway, let me introduce. So let me look at the simplest possible example. So we take a matrix in UN. So let e to the I theta 1, e to the I theta n be its eigenvalues. Right? And let me denote by p sub m of z the characteristic polynomial of this matrix, so that is a determinant of m minus zi, right? And we write this as minus 1 to the n sum j from 0 to n, and I write this as a j secular coefficient. This is a j secular coefficient, z to the n minus j. And there is minus 1 to the j. Right? We're following Hacke, who first looked at this thing. And he called this sort of the j's secular coefficient. Coefficient. And he computed the variance of this. So let me write this as a product of j equals 1 to n of e to the I theta j minus z, right? So this can be written on the other hand as a product of a linear factors involving eigenvalues. And basically Hecker computed that they expect the variance of this, so the variance was equal to 1. Yeah, by the way, the first circular coefficient is just a trace of n. And this has received a lot of attention, world experts in the audience. I should mention that. Yeah, and he posed a question of computing the higher moments. Okay, I'm coming back now to that side. So the theorem, once you observe it, it's very easy to prove, and that is Uspersy Diaconis. And that is that the expected value, let me be careful here, of j's coefficient raised to the 2k's power is equal to h sub k of j. So the 2k's moment of j's coefficient is equal to the number of magic squares of size k with row and column sum equal to j. In particular, the normal distribution for traces follows from h sub k of 1 equals to k factorial. I mean, not follows, it corresponds to. Okay, so let me now mention the... let me mention... So I alluded to the Kabbalistic aspect. So let me write the Riemann data function here. And we are looking at the critical line. And that was looked... I mean, let me put Brian Cornery's name here. So there was intensive year at American Institute of Mathematics, and people were looking at value distribution of the characteristic polynomial of a random unitary matrix in relation to making predictions for the moments of Riemann data function on the critical line. And after this, let me state the result. So, limit. So, and we're not going to look at Riemann's data function. We are going to look at the expression which comes from the approximate functional equation. So, if you look at 1 over n to the 1/2 plus it, right, raise it to the power 2k. And we're going to sum up to capital N. And now we'll take a limit of this expression as t goes to infinity. Right? So this can be proved to be equal to a sub k gamma k log n to the power k squared, okay, divided by k squared factorial plus big O of log n to the k square minus 1, right? Where this is sort of essentially a trivial arithmetic factor. Okay? And this number is essentially equal to the volume of B sub k.
What is capital Q? You wanted to write something else.
There should be another summation, sir.
Yes, I think so. I think I should put an integral. I should put an integral from 0 to t.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. That's what happens. Yeah. Okay.
The absolute value on the outside.
Let me write it. I want to look at. Yeah, I want to look at the equivalent of this expression. So I want to put absolute value outside. Yeah, thank you. So I want to look at the sum and from... Okay, I want to take the absolute value. Now I want to integrate it from 0 to t, and I want to take a limit of this divided by t. Okay, that's correct. As t goes to infinity. Yes, this is correct now. Okay, so this is the first consequence of this observation. Now, one can also look, basically what this says is, this explains the combinatorial significance of the moments of coefficients of characteristic polynomial in the case of random matrices from circular unitary ensemble. Now let me say what is a corresponding thing for the Gaussian unitary ensemble. Right. So, in this case, actually, so let me say something about GUE matrices. So in this case, the moments of the traces. So if you look at the traces of Z, where now I take Z with respect to mu sub n, which is a GUE, which is a GUE measure, right? And I look at that, at the moments of the traces with respect to mu sub n of Z, right? So this expression was found to have unitary ensemble. So these are Hermitian. If I start being really incoherent, please ask. I'm a bit spaced out, but so these are n by n Hermitian matrices with e to the minus x squared weight. Shall I write out? Okay. So, let me write it down. So, explicitly it is given as mu sub n dm is equal to the product 1 from j to k less than n, 1 over pi e to the minus m sub j k squared d sub x j k d sub y j k Okay, these are off-diagonal entries, and diagonal entries are 1/2 square root of 1/2 pi e to the minus x sub k k squared over 2 d sub x sub k k. This is correct, I'm sure. I checked this. It is often written incorrectly. So maybe there is some. Okay, it is not, time was not wasted here. Okay, so this expression was observed to have combinatorial significance first by Hara and Zagier in 86. So they evaluated it using Wick's formula and wrote it down in terms of number of ways of getting a surface of given genus out of fat graphs with n vertices, roughly. Okay. Later, it was observed. So basically, in the process, they obtained the following. Okay. So what Hara and Zagier observed is that it is equal to. Okay, I will write it down, but I will not explain it. So this is what I was referring to before. So G is a genus, and this n. I'm not going to have time to explain it. Okay, and it was also computed to be equal to 2k minus 1 double factorial j from 0 to k, and choose j plus 1, and choose j 2 to the j. So they proved this. They proved these formulas. This basically follows from weak formula, and this was proved using generating functions. Now, in one of his last papers, Karov gave a proof of this result, basically interpreting C sub k of n in terms of Rook placements. So this is a theory which was started by Kaplansky in his youth. He observed that many problems dealing with permutations with restricted positions are best analyzed in terms of putting, say, k non-attacking. Pacific crooks on n by n board. And over the past 20 years, there were a lot of Going already back to Kaplansky, it was observed that these Rook polynomials have a lot of connections with various types of orthogonal polynomials. So let me note the first such result, which is, I think is... Certainly, this did appear in the literature, and that is that if we look at P sub m of x, right, if we look now at the expected value of the characteristic polynomial of a random GUE matrix, right, with respect to GUE measure, right, almost by definition, this is equal to the nth Hermite polynomial. Right. This is follows from Christoffel Darboux formula, and nth Hermite polynomial is a Rook polynomial for n by n board. So case coefficient of Hermite polynomial of degree n is equal to the number of ways of putting Kainan attacking rooks on the board of size n. I'm skipping a few coefficients here and there. Okay. So what one can prove also is the following. So So let me write. So this is n's Hermite polynomial, and which encodes, so this is a Rook polynomial for n by n board. So let me say again repeat what I was trying to say. We observe that the moments of the secular coefficient of characteristic polynomial of a random unitary matrices have fairly deep combinatorial significance, and that something of this nature also happens in the case of truncated Riemann zeta function. It is also the case that the moments of the secular coefficients of characteristic polynomial of a random GUE matrix have combinatorial significance. For the first coefficient, it was observed by Haar and Zagier, and then by Kerov via Rook polynomials. Okay? Proceeding along the lines, taking a hint from Kerov's observation that there is a connection with Rook placement, we now can prove the following result. Let me state it here. So, if we now form, in analogy to the CUE case, right? If we now form, if we look at Pm of x, okay, but raised to some power, right? So this, in fact, is equal to, let me write this as f sub k of x, right? And that is a Rook, let me state this as a theorem. This is basically equal to the Rook polynomial for n by n plus k board. Okay? These are polynomials which are related to Hermite polynomials, they are polynomials which are orthogonal with respect to the derivatives of Gaussian measure. So they were first looked at in a very different context by Sonnin. And anyway, in this case, in fact, the asymptotics of these coefficients can be analyzed with greater ease. Okay, so I stated now three. I should start too. In both cases, the coefficients have combinatorial significance. In this case, they actually can be analyzed. One can obtain a fairly precise expressions for the GUE case. One can also try to analyze the asymptotics via Toeplitz determinant expression. Okay, So I should have pointed out that the volume of Birkhoff polytope and other coefficients were explicitly computed only up to n equals 9. So they are very difficult to compute, and there is a lot of interest in computing them. And and the connections with, first of all, random matrices from unitary group might be useful there. But moreover, there should be a statement, there should be, okay. One should have some kind of universality statement relating the unitary case and unitary cases in the CUE case and in the GUE case. And suitably interpreted, the following statement must be true, that you know, if you rescale the secular coefficients in the GUE case and in the CUE case, they behave in a similar way. And then one can hopefully transfer the information which can be obtained here to the other setting. Now, I should finish up. Maybe just to conclude. Yeah, maybe just to conclude. Maybe just to conclude. So, in the unitary case, one can, so given a unitary matrix, it is conjugate to the diagonal matrix with eigenvalues. Let me write them: lambda 1 of M, lambda sub N of M. On the other hand, it is also conjugate to, so this is a Frobenius or companion matrix. It is also equivalent to a matrix of this form. So this is the first secular coefficient. The second one may be minus up to the nth. And then ones in the first of diagonal element. Right? So the secular coefficients, right, so a matrix can be conjugated to either a diagonal matrix or a companion matrix of this form. So the secular coefficients actually capture the information about the matrix in the same way that eigenvalues do. So in some sense, as I think, so as Giancarlo Rotto, from whom I learned most of the combinatorics I know, would have said, in some sense, secular coefficients are almost equiprimordial with eigenvalues. They carry from this point of view. So that suggests that perhaps looking at their moments is not the only or the most interesting or right question to ask about them. So, that.
No, you have time, you know. I think you were confused, that was wrong.
I'm again confused.
You have time.
Okay, now I'm going to give the second talk I proposed. So now I'm going to talk about expander graphs. do I really have time?
Yes, you have just about 10 minutes, 8 minutes.
Ah.
But I think
I can go on. I don't.
I didn't interrupt you. You
no, I just prepared. I mean. Maybe I was incoherent, but I was incoherent the fixed amount of time. That's I can outline the proof of something. I mean.
By the way, how complicated are Rook polynomials? I notice you avoided to.
Well.
They are
simple. I mean, it's not that they are. You see, in this case, this is just a standard Hermite polynomial, right? In this case, these are polynomials which are orthogonal. It is that there is technology available to analyze polynomials orthogonal with respect to a measure. I mean, there is this whole Riemann-Hilbert machinery. So they start getting complicated as you increase k. I mean, this. So let me just maybe write this first one. For the standard Hermite polynomials, so the expression here of the 2j's coefficient is n factorial divided by 2 to the j factorial n minus 2j factorial. Right. It is not, I mean, the next, right. What I denoted by f sub k, right? Let me say what they are. Roughly speaking, they are polynomials which are orthogonal with respect to h to the 2k e to the minus x squared. Right. So it becomes a little. I mean. So, but there are techniques to analyze polynomial orthogonals with respect to such measures. So computing coefficients in the GUE case is I don't know if it is essentially easier, but there is existing technology which allows you to do it. That's how I would put it. I'm happy to.
Thank you very much. Let's have a long question session.
Sure, I'm.